So This Is Christmas, written by Mulder and read by Kaber. This is a supernatural fic, rated mature, in which no archive warnings apply. It features the relationship between Cass/Dean, as well as Dean and Sam. Abbreviated summary. Dean goes monster hunting alone. Help comes when he least expects it, and he finds that he likes the company. The door slams open, bouncing off the hinge as Dean enters the motel room, not bothering to stamp the snow off his boots as he weaves around the worn, mid-century furniture to grab his shotgun. Gear up, Sammy. We're going hunting. Fading in and out, the CRT television airs a cheery stop-motion film celebrating this time of year. The sound fizzles as Dean walks past the console to find the rest of his gear he doesn't keep in baby's trunk. Normally, he'd be the couch potato, but he's on a mission. Sam looks up from his ever-present seat at the square table by the wall, quirking a brow as he lowers the lid of his laptop. He turns to watch Dean check the ammunition bag kept in the closet. "Dean," Sam starts, in that way he always does when he's trying to be the wiser one. Then he brushes his hair off his forehead. "You can't be serious." "What?" Dean snaps. "A beat." Sam gestures around him, like there's invisible decorations hung up somewhere he should be able to see. "It's Christmas." Dean scoffs. "I know that." He didn't. Lost track of time. Though the gas station he had just arrived from did have multicolored lights strung up outside, and the attendant was wearing a red hat. That should have been his first cue, but he at least knew it was December. "So it's Christmas." Dean digs through his bag for a better flannel to fight off the biting chill. He slides off his jacket to replace his thin shirt with the flannel. His skin raises from the cold in the room. "What's your point? Gotten too spoiled by motel life that going out in sub-zero degrees bugs you?" Sam shakes his head. Then, dismissively, he opens his laptop again. "Fuck off." On cue, a strong wind howls, rapping against the door. Dean finishes the final button on his shirt and then picks up his jacket again, wondering why Sam isn't getting ready. "There's something out there. I can feel it, and I'm in the mood to find him. There, that can be your present." His brother lets out a sharp, haughty breath, then rubs his eyes as he confesses, "I don't feel like hunting tonight, or the next few days. I mean, Dean, come on. We've been on the road, day after day hunting, sleeping in the car for weeks. Weeks!" Dean blinks. "I didn't realize it was that long. This is the first bed I've slept in that doesn't have lumps in it. The one thing I want to do is rest, and I think you should too. We should just stay in, do nothing." "Nothing," Dean's antsy, wrong in his assumption that Sam would have caught his drift by now. He doesn't want to be alone. "It's one of the best nights to go out. Everybody is either too stressed or too goddamn plastered to notice what we do. Besides, I don't understand," Dean adds. "It's not like Dad ever let us celebrate the way every other typical family did, so why do you care what today is?"
"Don't bring Dad into this."
"He's the reason we don't." He pauses, eats his next words. Because Dad's death is still fresh, right alongside Mom's, which never left the rotten crevice in Dean's chest. "Now, put on some shoes and let's go. Be out in 5.
"I'm not going, Dean." Sam's jaw tightens, his voice raised. "I've had enough. You can go if that's what you want, but I don't care about it as much as you do, and you can't make me."
Sam returns to the computer, clicking and typing away at whatever forum site he's on, dealing with a slow internet connection. Sam's changed. He's changed, too, their lives thrust into this new fight against bigger foes than they've ever faced. Angels and the fallen ones, the good and the bad, and the in-between. Dean fixes his jacket sleeve, then absent-mindedly rubs over the spot where the scarlet burn remains. Quickly, he drops his hand to his side. Then he looks at the ammo bag, insistent. He throws the bag over his shoulder, muttering, "Bitch," as he exits.
When he starts up Baby, she's purring like a dream, tank full of gas. He flicks the wipers on to brush off the coating of fresh powder. The wipers sweep across the glass, up, then down. Dean counts to 30 as he keeps his eye on the door to their room, watches it like he'd stake out a crime scene, except this time he wants someone to walk out.
Come on, Sammy.
Black lines appear and disappear in his vision, gently swiping away the continuously falling blanket of snow. One of the wiper's edges drags, though, makes an unpleasant noise as rubber stutters against glass. 5 minutes go by. Dean gazes out of the windshield to see Sam finally drag the blinds closed on their room. He didn't even say goodbye. Carefully, he drags the shotgun up to rest in the passenger side, a companion he can count on. Sam wants tonight alone. That's fine. Dean can be alone, too. Let's kill some fucking monsters, he says out loud to no one. The gas station is a beacon in the night, its hazy LED lights piercing through the blizzard. Baby creeps around the lot like a boat pulling into harbor, and Dean shifts into park in an obscured spot just behind the building. When he was here an hour ago, he'd sworn he saw something moving behind the pump, and even inside when he had picked up something to drink, sulfur wafted through the aisles between Pine Air freshener and bleach, and the cashier seemed off, but that could have been chalked up to working on Christmas. In this part of Virginia, where the population is under 1,000 and the creatures outnumber the people, this station feels like it should look run down, abandoned, but it's in perfect condition. A hell of a lot better than any of the other spots he's had the privilege to stop at during cross-country trips. Nevertheless, it couldn't hurt to check it out, even if it is without backup. In Dean's pockets go a can of salt, plus a few hex bags Sam had made. Then he grabs his gun and steps out of the car into the blizzard's strong gale, blinking away snow from his eyelashes. He steels himself for what might happen, because every time could be his last time. He tracks in snow again, atop a tacky doormat and linoleum floors. The holiday bell atop the door rings annoyingly, and Dean glares at it in its bow-tied mistletoe glory, a holiday decoration, more like a pain in the ass. To his left is the register. The cashier's thin back is turned to Dean as the guy stares blankly at the wall of lotto tickets and cigarettes, a patch of sweaty hair sticking to his forehead. Dean clears his throat. I'm back. Forgot to grab something. I'm just gonna walk around. No reply. His nose wrinkles at the sulfuric aura of the store, and there's no one spot that's stronger, no one place he can point to find a ghost. But he inspects the place, weaving through the tabloids and booze aisles, nothing seeming out of place. He slips into the restroom to check for anything in there, and since he's there anyway, he takes a piss. When he walks back out, he passes the alcohol again, thinks,
why not?
And opens the fridge door to pick out another six-pack for himself. Maybe he can bring it back to the room and drown his holiday sorrows in it. Sam would probably bitch about wasting money. But Dean feels that he would need a drink, too. A box at the bottom of the stack that Dean reaches for seems to be rotting, black and green something spreading along the aluminum, translucent like clear slime. Dean shudders, scrunching his nose, but he bends down slightly to stare at it. He has half a mind to poke it, but he thinks best not to. Sulfur again, and a chill not from the fridge. Right behind him. The shotgun fires in a blink as he turns around, blasting a gaping hole through the cashier's abdomen, and Dean watches it disappear into thin air. Shit, he whispers, not in the mood to deal with a ghost. His instincts had been correct, after all. He cocks the gun again, takes a few strides backwards as he turns the corner, scanning the store. The cashier's possessed body poofs back into view near the front door. A pale vision as its mouth falls open and it groans hauntingly through chapped lips. It's still wearing the red hat, lopsided over thick, sweat-drenched hair. I've seen much worse than you. Get out of here, Dean shouts as he fires, this time right in the head. It fades out in a cloud of smoke. Fades in, mere yards away from Dean, and it sways from side to side. It raises its arms and punches, Dean ducking in the nick of time so the ghost crashes its arm into drywall. Fear whispers among the sulfur, but Dean's not scared. He's not. He's just barely on this side of confused. What type of ghost would want to stay in a gas station forever? And good luck trying to find this random dude's bones. Despite the logistics not being perfect, despite this ghost's chance of never going away, Dean fires again and again, wasting rounds and hex bags that don't work. He shoots, and crumbs fly out from wrapped chip bags, shredded paper falling on the floor everywhere. The ghost is closing in on him, exploding and rematerializing back into sight. Maybe his instincts are dulling around the edges, or maybe he's not used to going it alone, gotten too used to fighting side by side with Sam. The ghost rasps out an unintelligible sentence, points a finger toward Dean that feels like a death sentence. The gun sticks as he tries to cock it again, with one final round. Shit. He says, fuck it, and fires a shot. Drops the gun. Takes the jar of salt out and flings a wide helping of it at the ghost. It hisses as its peeling, ashy brown skin begins to fizzle and boil. It just seems to have made it matter. A step back, quiet taps against linoleum, as the speakers are tinny, playing Jingle Bell Rock. Dean trips over a fallen shelf, scraping his knee, and his palm begins to split, red dripping down his wrist. He winces. Lacking a crowbar, he picks up a metal piece of the structure, hoping it's made of iron. He swings it through the ghost. It glitches, but its form barely changes. The ghost's hand reaches up again. It stalks Dean, knowing what it's doing when he finds his pace stopped by a corner and a door. He pats the door, palms the knob, jiggles it as his pulse picks up and his breath quickens. Finally, he finds his grip and twists it hard, pushing in with his body weight. He falls back into the restroom. In a split second, he catches his balance, slams the door shut, and sprinkles a thick row of salt around the perimeter of the door. It trickles, faltering over a few shakes, and the jar feels lighter. He needs to be careful when he leaves. A moment to pause, to think about his next step. His lungs rasp, his heart jackhammers, and he almost drops dead when he turns around and notices a shadow in the corner. He flinches, grabs his chest. Jeez, Cass, you scared me. Castiel looks grim in this low light, and he approaches Dean.
Hello.
How did you find me? Dean waves his hand as soon as Castiel opens his mouth, chalks it up to some angelic instinct. This isn't the best time to talk. I'm busy, if you haven't noticed.
I know.
A permanent crease deepens between Cass's brow.
I sensed you were in danger.
Ah, okay. Nodding, Dean rolls his eyes.
And you showed up to, what, save me? I'm not a damsel in distress.
The door bangs, a dent forming as the ghost on the other side attempts to break past the barrier. Backing away from the door, Dean procures the jar of salt again. Then he sprinkles it at every crevice where the wall molding meets the filthy tile floor. The ghost can't get in, but Dean can't exactly get out.
Don't panic. Don't fucking panic. Come on.
He thinks. He drops the empty can to the ground, lets it rattle and clang as it lands on its edge. Another deep dent blasts through the door. Dean braces himself, ready to sprint through. But the ghost is furious, and it probably won't let him pass without getting in a few rounds on him.
Are you properly armed?
Castiel asks, his trench coat shifting as he moves toward Dean, his eyes scanning Dean's body and landing on his wrist, the stained sleeve with fresh blood. He frowns, his eyes meet Dean's with concern.
You need to be careful with these spectral forms. They are not friendly.
No shit, Dean hisses. Sam didn't want to come with me. I tried telling him about this place. He stares into Castiel's eyes, brought upon by something that feels an awful lot like comfort. But sleeping beasts lie in those places, and Cass is someone, something, Dean still can't put his finger on. Castiel steps in front of him, placing a hand on his shoulder, right above the mark. Dean flinches, but Castiel doesn't loosen his touch.
Let me help. I know you don't trust me, but you seem to be in a bind.
Dean notices Cass's hand lift up, starting to glow around Dean's wrist, and Dean pulls away, despite the dull ache in his hand, and trying not to put any weight on his knee. No more angel stuff. No more healing. No more help. Incessant, nonstop banging happens on the other side of the door, and a faint line of smoke lingers, creeping into the restroom and hugging the door, narrowly avoiding the salt barrier. Dean's natural instinct is clawing at his gut, telling him to find another place to hide, telling him not to flee.
Why?
He asks Cass.
Why what?
Why are you helping me?
It's the right thing to do. I have the ability to assist you, and I use it when I can.
That makes Dean do a double take, and he retreats, not letting the smoke touch him.
I never asked for a guardian angel, if that's what you are.
The smoke rises, growing denser and denser, and Castiel approaches it.
I'm not, exactly, but...
The room darkens like a midnight sky. The overhead light fizzles out, and twin shadows grow out from Castiel, growing taller and splitting out into two longer ones. Then a booming noise, and a light so bright Dean has to shield his eyes. It's over as fast as it began, and the restroom door is blasted open. The rest of the gas station covered in rubble and ruin, no sign of a hostile ghost. The radio has progressed to static and the occasional burst of music. Castiel is helping Dean to his feet. Dean makes sure to pick up the shotgun, because he's not leaving that behind, and he leads Cass through the smashed glass and debris. He opens the door for him, staring at the stupid mistletoe above the frame. Castiel catches him lingering.
What is that?
Nothing good. Dean says. He looks outside. The blizzard has let up into a lighter snowfall, but Baby is covered in snow once more. The landscape is eerie as the white blanket of snow reflects the yellow streetlight and the LED signs, glistening in a silence he can almost hear.
I'm hungry. Do you want to join?
To his surprise, the local diner is still open, and he and Castiel are seated by a woman named Holly. A little on the nose for the season, but she makes a joke, brushes off the obvious before anyone else can. There's a family gathered in a corner table and a few lonely souls at the bar. Castiel seems overwhelmed by the menu's offerings, but he orders the same thing Dean does to make it easier on the cooks, and Holly leaves for the kitchen. They make extremely small talk over coffee, discussing some of Dean's recent cases, regardless of how uninteresting they sound. What else can they talk about that Dean doesn't feel the need to bring up?
Thanks for saving my ass. Thanks for dragging me out of hell in the first place.
Those words don't cross the table to Castiel. He seems preoccupied with something, gaze wandering over the reindeer art on the windows and the red bag of gifts by the host desk. When Dean's digging into a stack of Belgian waffles and Castiel hasn't touched his, he shouldn't feel bad for the guy. Yet the next bite of syrupy dough goes down like guilt.
Tastes like molecules,
Cass offhandedly explains with a bittersweet tone and pushes the plate away slightly, staring at Dean's half-empty plate as if he takes more pleasure in watching him eat. Dean chews slowly, licks his lips clean of maple syrup, then swallows.
What? Do I have something on my face?
Cass shakes his head. His hand cradles a small mug, coffee untouched.
I'm only thinking.
Dean sets down his fork and knife.
About what? Christmas. I don't understand it, the way you humans celebrate it, but my vessel remembers. He loved it once.
A smile grows on Castiel's lips, sad and hesitant.
He used to buy presents early for his whole family, and he'd still go out on Christmas Eve to buy more, set alarms to put the presents under the tree for his...
The smile disappears instantly. His eyes darken.
I bet you have good memories. With Sam?
The knife and fork scrape on the plate.
I don't, really. Oh.
Dean takes note when that same permanent crease comes back to camp on Cass's face. He sure thinks a lot for an angel. Dean supplies.
I mean, before Mom, we did the parties, but I barely remember. And Sam has nothing to look back on. He was so young.
After what happened, Dad was a jerk, and we were always hunting. We never bothered to do the whole... He spins his finger around, pointing to the decorations. Emotion rises in his throat. He washes it down with the last of the coffee in his cup, sugar trailing down the inside rim of the mug.
I feel like, after you've seen what I've seen, all the shit in the world, what is there to bother caring about? Right,
The angel across from him listens intently, starts to say something anyone else would probably say after hearing his story. The heavy, unspoken thing sits at the table with them. Dean not knowing how to express it, and Cass not understanding it fully. Not to mention Dean's more grateful for him and Sam still being alive and kicking than bothering to buy whatever they thought the other needed at half price. Dean finishes his thought out loud. I wouldn't mind it if Sammy bought me new door panels for the car. Hmm? He shuts his mouth before he overshares again, cheeks growing hot. Nothing. He takes a few final bites of a soggy waffle, then scans the room for Holly to ask for the check, but she seems to be chatting up a storm with the family in the corner again. He looks to Cass, in his too big trench coat and askew tie, and almost feels bad for him. He reaches into his pocket and throws a few tens onto the table, more than enough for the bill. Ready to go. Castiel gets to his feet in a fluent motion, which Dean assumes counts as an answer, and yet again, he trails behind Dean the same way they had done in the gas station. And the same way, Dean holds the door open for Cass. A bell rings, sharp and musical. And once more, Dean looks up, heart sinking when he sees another piece of mistletoe over the frame, another piece of a long-held tradition that he doesn't, shouldn't, care about. He swallows back a bitterness, wallowing in something new that stands on shaky ground, something akin to attraction as he thinks about it again. Cass, wait. Castiel lingers on the handle to the outside door. It's unpredictable, melancholic, this flighty feeling, and all of Dean's silent thank yous fly away, pushing him towards Castiel. Dean steps into his space, takes the angel by the sleeve, and before he can stop himself one last time, he kisses Cass under a bundle of mistletoe wrapped in red ribbon, wrapped in a red scar he avoids every time he looks into the mirror, but always finds his gaze returning to it. To the shape of Castiel's hand branded on his skin. Salvation, the return to life, the reminder of the suffering Dean endured every day in hell. He holds his breath as Cass's mouth opens on instinct, gasping, grasping onto Dean's jacket just the same. They stand still, but it feels like the world is spinning beneath his feet, dizzy and whirling. Cass is full of fire, exuding unseen vibrations on the same frequency as a rabbit's pulse. Pulling Dean into his orbit. Cass's mouth slides hot and wet against Dean's lips, and a hint of satisfaction washes through Dean. He pulls away, finally, afraid and excited and confused all at once. A hand touches his shoulder, the ragged burn, the holy scar. And this time, Dean doesn't flinch. They walk out in the still, ever-falling snow, leaving footprints towards the car. And Castiel does not wait for Dean to ask to kiss him a second time. The end.